Let's return then to the book of Ephesians. We've got two studies left. I'm going to, my original plan in these last verses of chapter 6, last verses of the entire book, if you'll notice in our translation that we're working out of, verses 21 through 24 are just lumped into a final heading called Final Greetings. And I could easily have done all four verses in a single study, but there was some things that I saw in the first two verses compared to the last two verses that I felt was worth the time to take one extra study. So we're going to study tonight verses 21 and 22, and then I will save the final two verses of Paul's farewell to the Ephesians for next week, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that we have tonight to study your word, and I thank you also, Lord, for your hand upon our final decision of what we will study next as we finish the book of Ephesians. And I pray for our study tonight as we consider these simple words about an individual's life who you chose for a special purpose, who served and fulfilled that purpose. I pray that you'd find a way to speak to each one of our hearts out of that, and that it would bring about a fruitfulness, Lord, that you intend not just for this man that lived in history, but for us as well. Amen. All right, let's read then Ephesians 6, 21. I'll read through to the end of the book, verse 24, but as I said, we'll just focus tonight on verses 21 and 22. So that you may also know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers in love with faith from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. All right, in our study last week, we finished the section on spiritual warfare, and it ended with Paul's personal word of a prayer request, which he was asking for special and focused prayer for his own life and ministry, and that he would be bold in his own proclamation of the gospel. Now Paul turns again with a personal note. He turns his direction away from himself to a single man in the Lord's service, and this man is Tychicus. And Tychicus here is identified by Paul as the beloved brother and a faithful servant. And, you know, we're in a section now. These verses are, I'm sure you've experienced this. I've certainly done this in my own Bible reading. You know, I can't tell you over the years how many dozens upon dozens upon dozens of times that I've read through the entire book of Ephesians. And, you know, then obviously my attention arrested and my heart focused on the depth, the breadth, the width of the great doctrines that we find in the book of Ephesians. And it's somewhat easy when you come to these final words to just kind of breeze quickly through them, because on the surface there's certainly not as much in verse 21 and 22 as the material we've been studying. You know, it doesn't have the depth of the spiritual warfare section, or the depth of the old man, new man section that we studied back in chapter 4, or the depth of the new thing that God is doing in uniting Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ that we studied in chapter 2, and certainly not the depth of what we find in the overview of God's great plan of redemption that we find in chapter 1. But I think we would be making a mistake if we read these verses like we typically do and just kind of casually read through them as, oh, you know, Paul's just basically saying at the end of his letter, all this great stuff and the end. And as though this is just like a little post-it note added to the end of the letter without any real spiritual substance or value for us. One thing I've learned a long time ago, and I hold this perspective in my heart when I read God's word is that God is not a God who wastes words. And if it's in his word, it's of value to us. And he intends to use each portion, literally each verse, if we understand it properly, to have some impact, some effect on our lives in a life-changing way. And I really do believe this. I don't want to exaggerate the importance of these two verses, because if you said to me, Tim, you've got to drop two verses from the book of Ephesians in all your future readings, which two are you going to drop? Sure, I would drop these two. Maybe the least important verses in the book of Ephesians, but still bearing enough importance that God saw fit to inspire Paul to write these, to preserve them for us, and to then use them to speak to our hearts about what is being addressed here in these personal words about this one single man who Paul had a special relationship with. We know he had a special relationship because of how he describes him, but first let's just identify this man by his name. As you know, most Bible names, I say most, I'll just say it this way, all Bible names serve a purpose just in the meaning of the name themselves. You know, the Lord didn't just like, okay, I'm choosing this one who accidentally was named this, and then I'm going to highlight him for all of Christian history to follow so that Christians would know about this individual and learn something from them, but their name is meaningless and useless. Tychicus, which is just, you know, one of those names that kind of rolls off the tongue, but his name has a meaning just like all other names in the Bible. And, you know, like our culture, we don't assign much meaning to names, but when we studied about a year ago through the names of God, I think you understood at a deeper level the importance of the meaning of names. And Tychicus, his name means literally fortunate. Now, from the world's perspective, fortunate has to do with luck, good fortune, something that just apparently randomly happens to you, but it's a good thing, like winning the lottery. You know, it's accidental. It just happens. You don't know why it happens. There's no rhyme or reason to it, but gosh, aren't I lucky? And in the Greek culture, they believed in luck of this day and this age, just like, you know, the modern world still believes in luck. But from a biblical perspective, we understand that there is no such thing as luck. There is no luck in God's universe, in God's creation. God is a sovereign God. He's in charge of everything. And he was in charge of Tychicus. And even though Tychicus was not born a believer, and his parents, when they named him this, did not do so with spiritual perspective and understanding because they were not Christians when they named him when he was born into this world. Nevertheless, God oversaw and sovereignly brought about an appropriate name for this man. Tychicus truly was fortunate, not because of luck, but because of God's amazing grace in his life. As far as we know from the brief amount of information that we have, and not just here in Ephesians, Tychicus is mentioned four times in the Bible. We'll briefly survey the other mentions. Same exact guy. Four other times besides this mention. So a grand total of five mentions in the Bible of Tychicus. And you get a picture as you look at all of the mentions in context and kind of build like a jigsaw puzzle a picture of who this man was and what his life story was all about as a believer. You begin to get a real clear picture of how fortunate this man was, how blessed he was, how obvious the powerful working of God's grace in his heart and in his life was, so that he was certainly appropriately named in terms of how God had worked in his life. The likelihood is Tychicus, well, we don't know this for certain, even from the other mentions. This is a detail that's not provided for us, but doing a little spiritual detective work, this is the best guess of his backstory. He was most likely from the city of Ephesus itself, and he was probably one of the earliest converts to Christianity. As Paul came into this region, this is sometime before the writing of this letter, Paul preached the gospel there, a place that had never heard this message before. There were several of the first listeners that responded by God's grace and were saved, and their lives were changed and they became believers. And then Paul stayed in that region for a period of time, and he formed that group of new believers into a church. And it is most likely that Tychicus was one of those early converts and one of the early leaders of the church that Paul founded and established in the city of Ephesus, in the Ephesian church. Now, though, Tychicus is not in Ephesians. He's not there as Paul is writing this letter. Where is Tychicus? Yep. He's right there, literally right there as Paul is writing this letter. He's by Paul's side. Paul is in Rome as he's writing, and he's in prison. But remember, this is his first of two imprisonments. The second one is the worst one, when he was in a dungeon in the biggest and worst Roman prison. This is the first lighter imprisonment, in that he was in a rented house, chained to Roman guards day and night. And Tychicus was most likely living there with Paul during this time of his imprisonment. And he was Paul's right-hand man. He was Paul's helper. He was like a personal assistant, personal servant, personal helper. By choice. He wasn't under arrest like Paul was. But the amazing thing about this man is that from all that we can ascertain, he chose to live the life of a prisoner like Paul did. Paul was forced to live this life by the Roman authorities. Tychicus chose to live this life in order to stay by Paul's side and to help Paul in his circumstances. That gives you a little bit of a hint as to what's behind Paul's description when he turns his attention to Tychicus and he says, "Tychicus, the beloved brother." I mean, he's right there with Paul. Can you imagine if you had to go to prison and there was someone that loved you so much, cared about you so much, was so committed to your welfare and to helping you through difficult circumstances, they said, "I'm going with you, and I'm going to stay with you, and I'm going to minister to your needs while you're going through this situation." Now, the only thing that Tychicus had an advantage over Paul is that while Paul was in this imprisonment circumstance, Paul was chained to a Roman guard, Tychicus wasn't. So he had a measure of greater freedom, which means he could leave the house in Rome, and he could do whatever needed to be done. He could go out and greet the other believers in Rome. He could interact between the church in Rome and Paul. He could carry messages back and forth between Paul and the Roman church. He could, beyond that, carry messages back and forth between Paul and the other churches in other cities, which is exactly what Paul is addressing here. Let's read these verses again. "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." Now, these words, "I have sent him," it can be understood like as though Paul has previously sent Tychicus and now the letter is arriving later. That's not what's happening here. What's happening is Paul is writing these words in this house prison in Rome. Tychicus is right there with him, most likely doing the actual writing as Paul is dictating this letter, which was his normal habit of all the letters that he wrote. Usually, Paul only wrote the very last few words of each letter that he was inspired by God to write to the churches, and he had someone taking dictation for him. So most likely, Tychicus is the actual physical writer of the book of Ephesians. And then when he finishes, Paul is handing him the letter and sending him on a mission from Rome as a personal courier bearing scripture, newly written scripture from Rome, from the apostle to the Ephesian church, and by extension, eventually, throughout all the churches of Christian history and eventually finding its way to us. Now, this wasn't the only letter Tychicus was carrying. Tychicus carried with him on this particular courier mission that Paul was sending him on, he carried the book of Ephesians. He carried the letter of the book of Colossians. He carried the letter of Philemon, which were all written at the same time. And possibly, this we can't know for sure, and I don't want to get too far off on this, but I'll mention it in case you ever run across this in any books on the subject. What is referred to as Paul's lost letter, a letter that he mentions once in one of his other letters in Scripture, the New Testament, as a letter that he wrote to the Laodiceans. It's lost because by God's purpose, that letter was not preserved for history. Meaning somewhere between the time Paul wrote it and sent it and today, we've lost track of that letter. No one has a copy. No one knows what was included in that letter. But he carried for sure these first three letters, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. Now later, Paul sent in a different mission, a different courier responsibility. Later, Paul sent Tychicus carrying two additional letters from him. Those were the books of Titus and 2 Timothy. And of course, 2 Timothy is special among all the letters of Paul. For what reason? Anybody remember? Last letter he wrote, he finished the letter just before he was executed at the end of his second imprisonment by the Romans by beheading. So, Tychicus, while he's one of those names, I mean, how many of you, you know, just in the last year, have taken a single moment to think about, oh yeah, don't forget Tychicus. You know, oh yeah, Tychicus, he plays a special and important role in the Bible. How many of you have even thought about Tychicus? And some of you may not have even heard of him before, you know, because we, like I said, we even though you yourself have probably read through the book of Ephesians, when we get to these verses, it's just real easy to kind of broad brush, quickly read through them. But what I want us to understand is the significance of the man is highlighted by the fact that he, among all of the believers alive at that time, was entrusted by God with personally carrying from the city of Rome out to the churches in the world at large, five of the books of the New Testament that we know and love and value so dearly today. And we have them because and only because he faithfully carried out his responsibility to preserve those letters and to get them to their destination, to the churches where they would then be disseminated to the rest of church history. So a very important individual. Now, Tychicus was more than just a courier, and he was more than just a personal servant of Paul's, though he was both of those things. He was an apostolic team member. Now, what I mean by that, simply, is that the way that Paul conducted himself in ministry, generally, there are some brief moments of exception in Paul's ministry where he ministered solo, just by himself in a special circumstance. But most of the time when Paul ministered, though he was specially called by God and sent by God as an apostle of God to the Gentile world, Paul usually ministered not solo, but as the leader of a team of servants, each one specially gifted for different functions in that team. And the apostolic team were not all apostles. Usually in an apostolic team, there was one or at most two apostles. Like, for instance, the very first apostolic team that we see in the New Testament in the book of Acts, other than Peter and and John, for instance, going to the temple in the city of Jerusalem. That's a team right there of two apostles. But the first one that we see sit out in a missionary environment or missionary circumstance is in Acts chapter 13. We won't turn and read there, but you'll remember the story where Paul and Barnabas from the city of Antioch and the Christian church that was established there, they were meeting on a regular basis with the leadership team there in that was leading the church there in the city of Antioch. And they were just seeking the Lord together with the leaders. And they were ministering to the Lord. And they were fasting. And the Lord gave special direction that he wanted Paul and Barnabas set aside for a special work. And that special work was an apostolic work. And so he sent Paul and Barnabas out. The Lord did. But when he sent them out, he didn't just send out those two, though those two were the only two apostles that were sent out in that team. There was a third person in that particular circumstance that went with them. Do you remember who that was? John Mark. Right? Who later had some problems because he wasn't fully mature enough yet to bear the full responsibility, but the Lord knew that. And he was preparing him for something greater at a later time. And so we see, though, in that first apostolic team, a team of three. Later, Barnabas and Paul split and they go separate directions. And the Lord replaces in Paul's apostolic team the Barnabas role with Silas, who comes along and functions as an apostle, serves the Lord side by side with Paul as an apostle. Even though they're both apostles, nevertheless, there's a distinction and a difference between Paul and Silas in that Paul is seen as the lead apostle. Silas is following his lead. But then forming around Paul and Silas, there's an entire team that begins to form. And we're going to see that in some of these other verses that refer to Tychicus. Tychicus is part of that team. Anybody remember any other names that might have been part of that team? Luke, the beloved physician, who traveled extensively with Paul and Silas. And of course had, as I mentioned, each one of these team members had their own unique and special gifts that God had given to them for the benefit of the team and for the benefit of the ministry of the gospel through that team. Luke's unique gift was he was a physician. Now, it just so happens that God in his sovereign grace decides to add a physician member of the apostolic team because Paul has to go through a set of circumstances in which his body is literally being beaten to death by his ministry responsibilities. I mean, he is beaten with rods. He is whipped. He is shipwrecked. He has to suffer hunger. He has to suffer thirst. He has to suffer not having sufficient clothing at times. All these physical, weights upon him, he's going to need someone to come along and help him as a physician, only a physician can. And so Luke is there by his side to help him. Tychicus is such a man. He's not a physician, but he's serving a very important function in the apostolic team. So I want us to see right off the bat that he has these three key roles. The key roles in terms of the practicality of what he does are he is a courier for Paul carrying the gospel. He is a apostolic team member. And what was the third thing? He's a personal assistant for Paul, which includes, like being, as Ken mentioned, a personal secretary, taking dictation. Not just that, but, it's like a personal helper. Can you please go to the store and get us some food? Can you please carry this message to the elders in the church at Rome? Can you please, organize this situation for me? Those kind of things. So he has all three of these things. Now, when Paul refers to him by these two phrases in the verses that we're studying tonight as the beloved brother and faithful servant, these three responsibilities are the description of the second phrase that Paul uses to apply to Tychicus. This is what he is thinking of the fullness of these responsibilities when he calls Tychicus a faithful servant. He calls him faithful minister in our translation, but the word literally is the Greek word for servant. And he is not Paul's servant so much, though he does serve Paul. He's the Lord's servant. And Paul sees him as, in everything he's been asked to do, he has been faithful. That by itself is just an awesome testimony. If you get that out of this study tonight, and there's more to get than that we haven't even approached yet, but if you just get that, that here he was in a special circumstance, he was given a special opportunity to be beside the apostle, but that carried with it a lot of responsibilities. He had to juggle a lot with just these three things. And the third one alone, personal assistant for Paul, probably carried a lot of, you know, job responsibilities with it. But in all that he was asked to do, carry the gospel, the letters to the churches, serving as an apostolic team member, serving as a personal assistant to Paul, in all of that, he was faithful. And as far as we can tell, without exception, meaning he had, you know, a sterling track record as a faithful servant in all God had called him to accomplish. Now, the other thing that Paul labels him as is the beloved brother. What I want us to catch from this is that there are two different ways in the original Greek language that you can say this same phrase. And it's just a small little word, but the nuance you'll catch immediately when I give you the other way that this could be said. Paul could have written this in such a way that we would translate it as a beloved brother, or he could have written it in such a way that he's emphasizing something special and unique among a group of other beloved brothers, because Paul is not exclusive in his appreciation for Tychicus as a beloved brother. Paul had good relationships with a lot of brothers in the Lord, and he considered them all beloved. But he chooses to identify Tychicus as specifically the beloved brother. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that while Paul has good relationships, special relationship at a certain level with every believer that he's been in contact with, everyone that he's led to the Lord, everyone that he's influenced through his apostolic ministry and through his letters and whatnot, nevertheless, Tychicus has a special place in Paul's heart. And Paul's not ashamed of that. Neither is he hesitant to kind of put Tychicus out in the forefront and say, you know, by implication, all you Ephesians, you're beloved, but Tychicus among you, because Tychicus, remember, is probably from Ephesus, he is the beloved brother, which implies he's the beloved brother to me, to my heart. He has a special place. And I was thinking about the connection between Paul's description of Tychicus and how the scripture describes the relationship between Jesus and his apostles, his 12 disciples. You know how it was that Jesus had this circle around him, and then outside that circle were other disciples, and you get further out and you get to just people in the world. But in this inner circle of 12 men, there are three among the 12 that are closer than the other nine. And those are, of course, Peter, James, and John. Doesn't mean that Jesus didn't have appreciation for Andrew or Thaddeus or Matthew. It's just that he had an even closer relationship with those three. And among those three, there's one, and only John writes this in the Gospel of John, and he refers to himself without naming his own name as the one whom Jesus loved. It doesn't imply that he didn't love Peter and James. It's not a comparison competition thing, but it is highlighting that in some way Jesus had made it clear to John that he held a special place in the heart of Jesus. A special place. And I love that. I do love that. I think, you know, there's something about that we're meant to notice and pay attention to. And in the same way, Tychicus had achieved a special place in Paul's heart. Now, you know how it is. If you're dealing with someone who is spiritually somewhat immature, you might achieve a special place in their heart, but not necessarily for the right reasons. You know, you might feather the nest in a certain way and, you know, make them like you more than other people because of, you know, how you have treated them in a way that most directly benefits them. Not necessarily healthy. But here we're dealing with the examples of Jesus and Paul. Jesus, the ultimate example of spiritual maturity. Paul, not far behind in terms of his spiritual maturity at the time that he's writing this letter. And they both find this special place in their heart for this one individual disciple among all others. And that tells me there's something special about that person's heart, the way they're living their life. That when the Lord looks at them, you know, when the Lord looks at John, he sees, you know, an even greater love than the ordinarily awesome love that he has for Peter and James. And when Paul looks at Luke, and when he looks at others who are there with him and serving side by side with him, looks at Silas, he loves them dearly. But when he looks at Tychicus, he sees the beloved brother. So, what am I learning from that, from me? What should you learn for you? Well, the way we live our lives, in our connection, interaction, and relationship with one another, is carving out a certain place in one another's hearts. And it's not a bad thing to want to carve out the most special place in the hearts of those that matter most. And to value that honor, to value the honor that Paul showed to Tychicus. I mean, here he is writing scripture. It's preserved for all of history. You know, how would you like to be known from the words of the Apostle Paul, you, the beloved brother, among all the brothers? Wouldn't that be an awesome honor to carry with you before the throne of God on the day of judgment? Or Jesus saying to John, oh, the disciple that I love. You know, wouldn't you just love to have that kind of label attached to your name? All right, so with that background, let's then read the other accounts of the story of Tychicus and see if we can kind of build our perspective here as we look at him. The first one is in the book of Colossians. This is an almost identical description from the passage we have in Ephesians. It's because Colossians is written at the same time. And even though there are a lot of differences between the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians, out of all the passages in the books of Colossians and Ephesians, these two are the most alike. So turn to Colossians chapter 4. And they both, by the way, happen to describe the same thing, of course. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Says, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother. Interestingly, in this passage, Paul uses the other way of describing him. And this is true in the original language. Our translation here bears this out perfectly. Here, in referring to him to the Colossians, he's a beloved brother. To the Ephesians, he's the beloved brother. Now, I don't know about you. You could just easily read right past that and not pay any mind to it. Or, if you're like me, you notice, why is that? Well, I believe it's for this reason. Since the letters were written at the same time, it's not like time has passed. And since Colossians, he's become even more beloved to Paul. It's not like that at all. It's that Tychicus is probably, as I said, from the city of Ephesus and the church of the Ephesians. And so Paul is paying him special honor to his home church as he is going to return to them with this letter. As his emissary, as his courier, messenger, he is coming with special honor from Paul. But here Paul says, Tychicus will tell you about all my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Now, the only difference in these descriptions is here he is also called, faithful servant, just like he's called beloved brother. But the addition in the Colossians description is that he is what? He is a fellow servant in the Lord. So he's not just a faithful servant, he is a fellow servant. Now, fellow servant, the word literally means, we could write it this way. Paul is saying he is a co-servant in the Lord. What this gives us a clear hint about is this element right here, number two. He is an apostolic team member with Paul. Paul does not call everybody a co-servant, even though everybody in the Lord is to serve the Lord, has their own calling, their own assignment, their own service to accomplish. Nevertheless, here, Tychicus is being identified by Paul as serving in the same category of service that Paul himself is serving the Lord in, and that is apostolic service. This does not make Tychicus an apostle, but it does make him a member of this apostolic team. And it kind of identifies that for us. Verse 8, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Now, Paul doesn't mention Onesimus in the Ephesians letter. Why? Because he's from the city of Colossae, in the region of Colossae, not from the city of Ephesus. Even though Paul is sending these two men together on this mission, Tychicus is the one that will actually be carrying the letters. Onesimus is going with him. Now, we don't read that much about Onesimus here and not at all in Ephesians, but Onesimus is the man that stimulated the writing of an entire book of the New Testament. It's a short book, powerful though, very important, as a personal word from Paul about this man's life, and that's the letter of Philemon. I mentioned that Tychicus was carrying three letters with him. One of those letters, he's got three letters, one to the church of the Ephesians, one to the church of the Colossians. Those are letters that, are church-level doctrine. And then the third letter is a personal letter that isn't distributed to an entire church. Now, it's later included in Scripture for good reason, but it's a personal letter from Paul to one other man, who is the man Philemon. Philemon, and I won't go into the whole backstory, but in a nutshell, Philemon was a slave owner, and Onesimus was his slave that had run away to Rome. The reason most slaves ran away to Rome in those days was Rome was a big city and it would be easy to just get lost in that big city, not be found. But now, since then, he's come to know the Lord. He's met Paul. He's like he ran away from his master, ran to the city of Rome, ran smack into the Apostle Paul, heard the gospel, is saved, and then as a discipleship responsibility, Paul sends Onesimus back to his master to make things right with him. But he sends him back with an appeal. The appeal is the letter of Philemon. An appeal to Philemon to set this brother, this new brother in the Lord, free from his responsibility and to forgive him for the sin of having run away. It's a wonderful story, but again, that's a whole different study. So we have here then Tychicus as a beloved brother, a faithful servant, and now a co-servant of Paul who is being sent with Onesimus to those two cities, the city of Ephesus and the city of Colossians, carrying these three letters. Let's look at the next passage, Acts chapter 20. Yeah, if you can hold it to the end, that would be great. Thank you for asking. Acts chapter 20. And I'll read from verse 1, but our key verse is verse 4. This is an event that's taking place earlier in the time chronology in the city of Ephesus. And what's happened is Paul has come to the city of Ephesus and he's begun to proclaim the gospel, and he's caused a huge uproar to take place in the city. So it says, after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months. And when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him. And of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. Now what we have here is a list of this isn't a vacation trip, you know, where Paul is being accompanied on some nice, enjoyable getaway to Greece. This is a mission trip. And Paul is being accompanied by an apostolic team. Here is his team. The team that travels with him on this particular trip is Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timothy, who we should recognize. You know, this is the Timothy of the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. And a group of two known as the Asians. Now, today, if I said to you, Tychicus was Asian, what would you be thinking? He might be Oriental, he might be Japanese, he might be Chinese, he might be Korean. You know, we tend to think in terms of, we've categorized Asian as being that particular, you know, people group. You know, one of those people groups. That's not what Asian meant in those days. Although it would certainly include those groups. But there wasn't a lot of interaction at that time in history with the Japanese and with the Chinese. What we're talking about here is the city of Ephesus was the leading Asian city. And it's in what we would call the coast of modern-day Turkey. So it's not at all what we think of as Asian, but it's what this world at this time thought of as Asian. So these two men, Tychicus and Trophimus, are identified as in the Asian group, and again, most likely directly from the city of Ephesus. All right, now let's go to the book of Titus, chapter 3. We're just doing a quick survey here through all of the mentions of Tychicus in the scriptures. Titus, chapter 3. Remember, Tychicus is carrying, at a later time, as a messenger from Paul, the book of Titus. So, in Titus chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, "When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." What's happening here is Paul sends this letter, and he ends up sending it by the hands of Tychicus. He hadn't decided at the moment he was writing it whether he was going to send the letter with Artemas or whether he was going to send the letter with Tychicus. He does decide to send it with Tychicus later. And when he sends it, he sends the letter to Titus. Titus, backstory, is like Timothy, a young apostolic co-worker of Paul's, part of Paul's apostolic team. When Paul went to the island of Crete, which is right there smack in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, Paul went to the island of Crete, preached the gospel there, formed the believers that accepted that message into a church, and left Titus there to organize that young church into a healthy Christian congregation. Now, Paul needs Titus to come to him for a special ministry reason, But he doesn't want to leave the church without leadership, without appropriate, proper, healthy shepherding leadership. And so what does he do? He sends Tychicus with the letter to Titus, which is going to benefit the whole church. And then Tychicus is going to stay there while Titus travels back to Paul. And so Tychicus is going to take Titus's place as leader of the church for as long as Titus is away visiting Paul. Then when Titus returns, Tychicus will be free to go back to Paul. I think that's important only because it gives you a flavor of some of the inner workings of how the churches were managed, how they were led, how they were shepherded, how they were cared for by Paul and those who led with him. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4 is our last mention. And of course, again, this is the last book that Paul wrote. Second Timothy chapter 4, last chapter of the last book. And I'll read starting in verse 9, but our key verse is verse 12. This is personal instructions to Timothy, just like Titus, a young co-worker of Paul's, who had been left behind to lead a church. Titus was left behind in the island of Crete to lead the Cretan congregation. Where was Timothy left behind? Anybody remember? He was left behind in the city of Ephesus. He was the pastor of the Ephesian church during its early formation years. All right? So, do your best, verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark, that's John Mark, who had earlier deserted Paul in his first apostolic ministry trip, but now has grown up in the Lord and is trustworthy. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and also the books, and above all the parchments. I just love Paul's priorities here. He's in a Roman dungeon at this point, cold and damp. And so he does consider his physical needs, and he asks for a cloak just to stay warm at night, because the prison didn't provide such things. But even above the cloak, to just stay warm at night, he wants the books and the parchments. You know, he wants his stuff that's going to help him in, you know, what the task that he has to teach and to minister through letters in the Word of God. But here he says, I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Now, where was Timothy? Timothy was in Ephesus. And so what Paul does with Tychicus here is the same thing that he did earlier with Titus and Tychicus, which is Paul sent Tychicus to Crete to take Titus's place for a period of time so that Titus could come visit Paul. That job is concluded. Now Tychicus has returned to Paul and he sent him back out from Rome all the way to the city of Ephesus. It's not a short journey. These are long. I mean, you know, we're talking about the possibility of me returning to India on behalf of the church to serve the needs of the orphanage there in March of 2011, like you sent me in 2001. I'm challenged by the idea of such a long journey, you know, but believe me, even though physically the miles between here and India are much longer, the journey that Tychicus had to make to go from Rome to Crete and then Rome to Ephesus, much more arduous than my journey. I mean, I like to tell the famous story about how I flew for 20 hours, you know, cramped in my little coach seat to get to India. But I'm flying in relative comfort. I mean, I got stewardesses coming and saying, you know, can I get you something? And it's warm in the cabin and I can sleep, you know, the entire journey. This is more than a 20-hour trip for this man. I mean, this is weeks to get from one location to another, and not an easy trip at all. So he was sent first to Crete to take Titus's place. Now he's sent back to Ephesus to take the place of Timothy. In both cases, Tychicus slots in to the lead role of church leadership so that the men who are in that role can be relieved to go and to visit Paul and accomplish a greater ministry purpose. All right, those are our descriptions of Tychicus. And to end tonight, let's go back to our Ephesians 6 passage, and let's just pick up a detail of what Paul describes in this section and one of the implications I drew from it for myself. I hope it will benefit you as well. And then we'll end here tonight. We reread these two verses, Ephesians 6, 21 and 22 again. Paul says, "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." All right, Tychicus was sent by Paul for three reasons. And he was sent from Rome to the city of Ephesians, the Ephesians, to the Ephesian church. The first reason is he is carrying the letter. The letter is the letter to the Ephesians, Scripture. So that's a very important purpose. Then the second purpose is he, once he arrives, he's not just going to hand them the letter, turn around, and walk out the door. He's there to minister to them and to be a benefit spiritually to them. And so he's there to inform the Ephesians about what's going on in Rome spiritually, and specifically with Paul and beyond Paul, with the entire apostolic team and the work of the gospel. So it's to inform the Ephesians about the work and the workers in the gospel. And the third purpose is he's there to encourage their hearts. Meaning above and beyond anything that's going on with Paul and the work in Rome, they have their own lives to lead as Christians. They need to be encouraged. They need to hear an encouraging word. And Paul has sent Tychicus to accomplish that. All right, the first one we've talked extensively about, to carry the letter. I want to talk for just a moment about these last two as we end our study tonight. What's interesting to me is that Paul says, "I've sent him to you to tell you what's going on with me, what's going on with the others who are with me, the apostolic co-workers, and what's going on with the work, what's going on with the ministry." Paul is writing a letter as he's saying this. Why couldn't he just stretch the letter out another chapter and have the next chapter be a description of what's going on with him, what's going on with work, what's happening there in Rome? Why couldn't he have described it himself? It's interesting to me because Paul is well known for, talking long, and if he's got stuff to say, you're not going to stop him from saying it, But he stops here at the end of the book, and he says, Tychicus, he's going to fill you in on everything. Okay, that tells me something about the spiritual capability of the man himself, Tychicus, that he would be entrusted to accurately represent the mind and heart of Paul to the Ephesians. He's trusting that Tychicus, you go and you tell them everything that's going on here. And he doesn't have to coach him. He doesn't have to rehearse things for him. He knows that Tychicus is well capable of accurately representing all that's going on in his own life, what's going on in the lives of the apostolic team that they're part of, and what's most importantly going on with the furtherance of the gospel. So that tells me something there. The second thing that it tells me, though, is just how important it is in Paul's mind and heart for believers in different locations who the Lord has connected together for a kingdom purpose to stay connected through information being passed back and forth. It's kind of like the sense that we have of a connection with Samuel in India and the work there in India, the orphanage, the little lights in India, and how we're connected there, but if we never heard any news about what was going on there, if we never had any visits from Samuel, as we've been blessed to have a few visits over the years from him, if you had never sent me to them, and they had never seen a physical representation of us and heard me speak to them, you know, there would have been a loss on our part toward them and a loss on their part toward us. And so, you know, this helped me to see this, that this was important to Paul. Because my tendency is, you know, I just, first things first, most important things are the most important, and you know, this kind of passing information back and forth, I just didn't see the value in that to the degree that I think I should have. So I understood some of that, which is with motivation enough to go to India last time. But this next time that I'll be going, I'm going to be going with the understanding, and this is, of course, if the Lord sees fit to actually send me as we're planning, but I'm going to be going with the sense of what was in Paul's heart when he sent Tychicus. The value of the connection. And I look back on the 6 weeks that we just recently had with Samuel visiting us and speaking to us, and I see the benefit. I see the value. I mean, yes, there's a lot of money that gets spent in plane tickets and other expenses with travel and whatnot, but periodically, that's a dollar well spent because our hearts are more connected to them than they've ever been. I think you've experienced that recently. I've experienced that recently. And their hearts are going to be, in March, more connected to us than they have ever been when I arrive by the grace of God. So I just wanted you to see the value of this cross-pollinization, so to speak, that takes place when believers in different locations are kept connected by the purpose of God and require for that healthy connection a certain amount of exchange of information and face-to-face contact by representatives from the two different groups. And then the third thing is just the importance of church encouragement. You know, how Paul, out of everything that was a priority to him, obviously the most important thing is to get the letter to them because it's scripture. And then the necessity of staying connected through passing information to them of what was going on in Rome. But his last concern, the last thing he mentions as a concern for them, is that Tychicus would be coming with the intention of not just, again, handing them a letter and not just saying, okay, here's the news from Rome, but actually honing in on their heart needs to be encouraged from the Lord. And I don't know what Tychicus had to say to them that was of encouragement for them, but here he was, can you imagine? Traveling on this long journey from Rome to the city of the Ephesians. And what is he carrying with him? He's carrying with him the letter to the Ephesians. It's not a sealed letter. He's got access to it. If he's anything like I am, he'd be reading that letter every day on his journey there. He's carrying with him the letter to the Colossians. He's carrying with him the letter to Philemon. He's soaking himself in apostolic revelation. So by the time he arrives, he's got a lot to say, I'm sure, of a deeply encouraging nature to their hearts. All right, we'll end there tonight with the story of this one little-known man, Tychicus. But, you know, I see much greater value there than I had ever seen before, and I hope you do as well. All right, Lord willing, we will spend one last time in the text of Ephesians next Thursday night in the final verses 23 and 24.